The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Now, I'd like to draw your attention this evening to Luke, the 17th chapter. And as I began thinking on this specific passage of Scripture earlier this week, I thought back over the last 2 weeks, and I remember several occurrences that happened during that time where I talked with some ministers of a different denomination and some various other people, and they all told me a different place where I could find the Lord. I'm sure you all know what I mean. One man told me that any place where the love of God is absent, God will not be found. I said, yeah, I heartily agree. The Lord, God is love. So if love is not present, certainly the Lord is not there, because everything the Lord does is in love, whether it's chastisement, whether it's the blessing of His Holy Spirit upon a worship service, all those things are done in love. And I had another man tell me that any place the Spirit of God is absent, God is not there. Well, we know that God is everywhere, so that would still not be completely correct, but the reason I'm making that point is I would like to talk to you this evening about a place where the Lord is found. And in Luke, the 17th chapter, in the 20th verse, we read this: "And when he," speaking of Jesus, "was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Verse 22, Luke 17. "And he said unto the disciples, 'The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them.'" So the Pharisees come to Jesus at this time, and they are asking Jesus, "When will we see your kingdom?" Because the Pharisees and many of the other people at that time, including some of the disciples, had somewhat of a warped view of the kingdom that Jesus came proclaiming. And when Jesus came saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," when John said the same thing, they were not speaking of an earthly kingdom where the Lord would wipe all the Romans off the face of the earth, the Lord would drive them out of Israel, and he would set up his kingdom, a dominant throne in the land of Israel. He was not speaking of that. He was speaking of something else. I'm sure y'all have all heard the phrase "the kingdom of God," and you have probably all heard people say that it's different things. We certainly all understand that the kingdom of God is heaven. I mean, in terms of heaven up in the sky, we think of heaven is a physical place. I asked a question of someone one time. I said, "Is heaven?" When I was a lot smaller, I said, "Is heaven really a physical place? Couldn't it be some kind of invisible place here on earth?" And I was told that, no, heaven is a physical place, because we read of several people that are there in their physical bodies. Elijah was caught up in the air in a fiery chariot and taken to heaven. Enoch did not die. The Lord took him off this earth, and he is now in heaven without having died, without his physical life expiring and his spirit having departed from his body. Jesus ascended up to heaven, and we know that all those are there in body. Also, I'm sure you've heard that the church is the kingdom of God. This is also true. We're moving quickly here for sake of time. We could produce verses of Scripture to prove all these. But the church is, of course, part of the kingdom of God. The church as we see it here. But here, in this passage of Scripture, we read about a different aspect, if you will, of the kingdom of God. So let's use a short example in order to understand this a little better. Now, in England, there is a queen, the monarch of England, and in years past, she has ruled. Different queens and kings have ruled for hundreds of years. In the past, it has been said that the sun never set on the United Kingdom, because the queen owned so many territories that as the sun rotated around the earth, it was always shining on a part of England. Even now, the queen is monarch over multiple places in the globe. She's the Queen of England. She's the Queen of Canada. She's the Queen of Australia. But she's still the Queen of England. So when I say the kingdom of God, I'm not speaking of one particular place. I'm talking about a place where the Lord rules and reigns. It exists in the church. It exists in physical heaven. And it also, I would assert this, it exists in every child of God born again by the Holy Spirit. Because by the authority of Scripture, the Spirit of God dwells in the heart of every born again child of God. So this aspect of the kingdom of God is something that you can enjoy by yourself. It's contained in your heart. Jesus says in verse 21 of Luke 17, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So that phrase, within you, can also mean it comes not with outward show. When I look at the kingdom of God, I do not see the physical aspects of a normal kingdom. I do not see massive castles, do not see massive armies, but rather I see a place where the Lord reigns and rules. Now let's look at several verses of Scripture which prove that the Lord dwells in the heart of the child of God. Let's go to the book of 1 John. And 1 John contains many scriptures which tell us these same principles. 1 John 3:24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So how do we know that the Lord abides in us? How do we know that he rules and reigns in our hearts? Well, simply by the Spirit that he has given us in the new birth. Now, to what extent, I need to make this clarification very quickly. To what extent does the Lord, the Spirit of God, coincide with our physical bodies? That's something we probably should consider. Because there is still a part of us that is very much corrupted by sin. There is still a part of us that is very much drawn aside by our earthly lusts. That is the part of us that will die. Even now, that part of you is dying. Sometimes when I'm faced with the many things that tempt me, my own anger, my pride, my various temptations, my frustrations, my fears, I draw comfort from the fact that even now, the things that afflict me, the lusts in my body, those things are dying. And there is coming a day where I will take my last breath that those things will be fully left behind. I envy those that have left this earth and left behind their bodies and their temptations and their fears and their afflictions. And they have gone on to be in heaven where there is no more of that. They have left that behind. The very temptations that have plagued them for probably their entire life, they have left those things behind. Now, we do not fully understand to what extent the way that the Spirit of God and our physical bodies coincide. The reason we know that is because in Hebrews 4:12, we are told that only the Spirit of God, for the Word of God, the living Word of God, divides the joints and the marrow and the spirit and the soul and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. I could not discover where my spirit, where my cleansed spirit ends and where my physical body begins. So I think that's an important distinction to make. And in 1 John 4, in verse 12, we read this. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." So we, of course, understand that no man has seen God the Father at any time. We read that in other places in Scripture. John, the first chapter, for example. And then we read, "If we love one another, God dwelleth in us." What does that mean? We know that if we love one another, it is because God loved us. So if we are able to love one another, we have been given that ability of God. I feel like maybe few people understand that sometimes, because I've had many people ask me, "Well, if I believe what you believe, I would limit the number of people in heaven. The number of people in heaven would be so small, because I would constantly be sitting around trying to figure out whether God chose them or not." You're talking like election limits the number of people in heaven. And no, what I've told people many times is, "Do you see anybody that loves?" They say, "Yes, I see many people that love in this world. I see many people that are kind to those around him. I see many that are gentle, that are meek." And then, oh, joy of great joys, all those people that you see performing those things are children of God. They are born of the Spirit, because if they were not born of the Spirit, if God had not loved them, they would not be able to show love to those around them. So, in fact, this doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, does not limit the number of people in heaven. Rather, it expands it. Because I look at all of you this evening and I see people that love one another. I see people that are kind to one another. I see people who show gentleness and meekness. And I know because of that fruit that I see, you are all born again children of God. Isn't that glorious? It's a very glorious thing. And it is one of the times that I have shared that with people and seen their face light up in joy. That has been one of the highlights of my entire life. It really has been. The next verse I'd like to draw your attention to is in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in the 16th verse, we read, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Here again, we read a verse of Scripture which tells us that the Lord dwells in His people. The Lord walks in His people. The Lord continues to minister to His people through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So there we see, in these verses of Scripture, we see a place where God rules and reigns. It's not in a castle. It's not in a specific physical place on the earth. He's not the general of some physical army. He did not intend to to destroy the Romans. He did not intend to establish a physical kingdom in Jerusalem. But He has a kingdom in the hearts of His born-again children. In Romans chapter 8, very well-known chapter, we read another passage of Scripture which proves this same principle. I'm going to emphasize some of the language here in reading. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now in considering this concept of dwelling, of the Lord taking up a residence somewhere, of the Lord taking up a place of abode somewhere, we have to understand that there are times we will certainly feel this more than we do at other times. Now, did the Spirit of God ever leave His children? No, the Spirit of God does not ever leave His children. We certainly would not believe that. We do not assert that because of multiple passages of Scripture which tell us not only that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, but also that show the principle of once saved, always saved, if you will. That once someone's saved, there is nothing that can take them out of God's eternal grasp. He always has them in His hand, and there is nothing on this world that can change or alter that fact. But there are times that we probably feel this less than others. And here's the reason. We've read several verses of Scripture which have talked about some of those reasons. Number one, in 1 John, the 3rd and 4th chapter, we read that we know the Spirit dwelleth in a certain individual by the way they follow God's commandments and by the way they love one another. That is not to say we can go around judging, is this person an elect child of God or is this person not? I heard one minister say one time, the furthest we can go and the furthest we have the right to go is to say, I'm not sure. It is not my place to make that judgment. But I can certainly make a positive assertion when I see someone following the Lord, when I see someone serving the Lord, and I can say in a positive sense that I know the Lord has worked in their heart. So when we see that, we understand that we know when we look at a child of God and they love the ones that they love, fellow children of God around them, they follow the commandments of the Lord, they seek to remove idols from their lives, they will feel the Lord in a manifest way. And here is the point that Jesus is making in this chapter. We do not see the outward sense of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we can see the acts someone performs, but the essence of the kingdom of God is not to be found in the edifices of man. And there will come a time when many will say, in verse 22, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Now I understand that this is to be applied in the sense of the last days, in the sense of the Antichrist. But we read in 1 John, the second chapter, John tells us, he says, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. John is saying, even now there are Antichrists. And they came from sometimes the very midst of the church. Remember, this was written almost 2,000 years ago. And John said, even now there are many Antichrists. So this verse is applicable now. Not when John was existent. It was applicable then. It's applicable at the end of time when the Lord returns. Whenever that is, right the day before he returns, this verse will still be applicable. But it is also to be applied to us now. Because there are many times people will come to you, they will come to me, they will come to all of us and say, I know a place where you can see the Son of God. I have a better alternative. Come follow me. I will show you the Son of God. I will show you His miracles. I will show you the mighty things that He can do. When in reality, the Lord is found in the hearts of His children. The Lord is found in the church. And someday, the Lord will be found in heaven. The Lord is in heaven today. The alternatives that we are offered will often consist of the things we read about in those other verses of Scripture. Love is not very popular in the world. If you try to put others before yourself and to love, oftentimes you will run into difficulties in the world. There will be opposition to that. It doesn't come naturally to put your coworker first in the workplace when you know that you could have an advantage over him if you did not. It does not come naturally for me or for any of you others who have many siblings to put your siblings first. It doesn't come naturally to respect your parents. It doesn't come naturally to crucify yourself daily. The world says, help yourself, love yourself, find yourself. But the Bible says, crucify yourself. That's how much of a contradiction it is. Again, the Satan in the world will often provide many counterfeits. Those are called idols. For everything the Lord provides for us, Satan will have a counterfeit. That's something I heard from an elder one time. Another thing that Satan knows how to do is Satan knows how to capitalize on the smallest of human weaknesses. We must follow the Spirit of God in thwarting His efforts. Because I've come to find this. I've seen this in other people's lives as well, and the Scripture certainly teaches this, that Satan cannot always trap us in what we would view as the basis of sins. He might not be able to get me to commit physical murder. He might not be able to get me to rob a bank. He might not be able to get any of you to physically dishonor your spouse. But he can certainly try to capitalize on the smallest weaknesses that he sees in our lives. We read about another instance here. The Pharisees were distracted by their desires to see the kingdom of Israel return to its former glory. That's another thing we can be distracted by. Simply the physical elements of this world, the money, the cars, the houses, the new jobs, all these other things that we see around us that can distract us and try to offer us counterfeits to where really Christ is. So as I close here today, I'd like to just recap for just a few seconds. We are told that the kingdom of God comes not with observation. It doesn't come with outward show. Because Jesus tells us the kingdom of God is within you. The place where the Lord is found, most personally, is within your own heart. And he says, do not listen when others come to you and say, here is a better alternative. Scripture is not the best alternative to seeking the Lord, to learning more about the Lord. The preaching of the gospel, sitting under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, is not the best way to learn about the Lord. That's a false counterfeit. And Jesus Christ says, do not listen. Be wary, because I have given you a place where you can see the Lord in the most manifest way. A place that is inside of you that you can enjoy by yourself, that you can enjoy with others. That is my spirit inside of your heart where I rule and reign on a daily basis. Thank you for your time.